area, there's a lot of good stuff in the book of Psalms, isn't there? Psalm 70, let's read that. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. How many of y'all prayed that? Many a time, right, in your life? Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. Let them be turned backward and put to confusion that desire my hurt. Let them be turned back for a reward of their shame that say, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying. Father, I sure thank you for your kindnesses tonight. Thank you for these folks coming out. God, again, I pray that you'd feed them, give them something from the Word of God. Lord, we are hungry. Lord, we are just poor and needy. When it comes right down to it, God, we need you, depend upon you, God, and we're asking something tonight that you might speak and lead and guide, and these things be a blessing and a help. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, again, I think, you know, the Psalms are really a blessing, right, to be able to get into, and you get a lot of help and comfort in those Psalms. David went through a lot of things, you realize, and God used those things he went through to give him, you know, so he could put those down there so we could get some help, right? And I got to say, though, there's just nothing, including not just the book of Psalms, but the whole Word of God, as someone preaching and teaching it, you know, rightly dividing it, right? You get the dispensational things in there. And, you know, if you don't know how to rightly divide the book, then you're going to miss at least two-thirds of it, right? You understand the book of Psalms, whenever you hear on the radio, Christian radio and stuff, all you get is devotional all the time, right? That's it. They're going to give you the devotional, and praise God for that. I'm not knocking that real bad, but you miss two-thirds, okay? What are you saying? Well, the Scriptures have a historical lesson, and they have a prophetic and doctrinal lesson, and they have a devotional lesson in those things. You don't want to just kick out two of them, because all you're going to hear is devotional stuff in there. The book goes real deep, and especially in the book of Psalms, too, right? And there's a whole lot packed in here, so I'm going to try to give you a few things, pull out some things. Devotional also to help you and give you, you know, maybe, you know, a blessing tonight and that kind of thing. But, boy, something else to look at. Okay, so here, verse 1, he starts out, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Right? And I'm going to say this. Hey, everybody is in a hurry, right? When you get down to this, everybody's in a hurry, especially for God to help them, right? But you know what the Bible says for you and I as Christians, right? We're supposed to wait on the Lord, right? Wait. Who wants to wait? Well, God says you need to wait. Now, I'm just going to give you a few verses on that. Look back here in Psalm 27. Look at Psalm 27. Again, he hits this. But you find that all throughout the Word of God, folks. You and I are called to wait upon our God. Psalm 27:14. Notice it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Look over in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, and I know that you're familiar with these. I'm sure you are. You get through your life and you get some things. You need these verses, man. These verses are a help. Psalm chapter 40, verse 30, right? Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. So again, you see through the whole Word of God, wait, wait, wait. Even in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians, you know, we're to wait for the Son to come back, right? We're waiting for that. And here, you know, everybody, I'm going to say even David. David, you know, he wants the Lord to hurry up, right? He needs some help right then. You've been in that situation. But here, the fact is, I mean, one thing to remember along these lines, and as we get into this thing, is I want to tell you, God's time is not always our time. Right? You found that out, I'm sure. God doesn't work on our time schedule, you know, and so we have to wait. That's why I said he wants you to wait on that thing, right? You may have prayed for long months for an answer on something. You may have prayed for long years on just one thing, and you may, can I have say this, you may have fasted for something for a long time before the Lord even appears, you know, to answer your prayer. So, and I say, just something so you remember and keep in mind here along those things is, in, and I'm going to confirm it with you as we go through here, because I realize, hey, yeah, not everybody's on the same level of things on some stuff. So, you know, maybe some of you guys that are there and ladies that are, you know, old hats at this and heard this, I'm sure, many a time from Brother Hoffman and teaching and stuff like that. Just please bear with me as I try to establish some things. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at this thing here. 2 Peter 3. And go down here to verse 8. I'm sure you're familiar with this. I want to give you, try to give you some more perspective. All right? I hate that when people say you need perspective. I got perspective. What are you talking about? You know? No, you might need to look at this a different way, okay? 2 Peter 3:8, right? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years. Oh, hey, so okay, again. I'm sure a lot of you know about that, was talking about there, because you realize in your life and in the Christians' lives, there are some folks that have just a huge amount of troubles, and maybe they have those troubles just a large fraction of their lives, right? It just apparently seems that the Lord doesn't answer. Sometimes, you know, their prayers, right? But, you know, the Lord could answer just no. Could be, nope, you're not getting that. I'm not answering that prayer, right? He's just going to deny you what you may want and something like that. Or it could be a case where it's just the length of time it takes the Lord to get around to us or to move things and have things put in right place for the right time, right? And an answer to prayer. Okay, I know all those things can apply. But this thing here, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I look at that thing, you know. So he tells you, hey, this one thing, hey, you're not to be ignorant of, right? Don't be ignorant of that. He says, for one day with the Lord is a thousand years. Okay, that's great, ain't it? Verse 8. So that should change your perspective, I want to say, on some things, okay? As far as this time and making haste, oh Lord, right? Can I say one of the Lord's days then is as a thousand years to us? It really is, okay? I mean, I believe exactly what he said there. Now, that verifies, I think, a lot of things in the Word of God and some teachings through there. You understand, as Bible students, I'm sure you got, there's 4,000 years of Old Testament history, right? About 4,000 years, right? So you take that verse in there, so you're talking 4 days, right, to the Lord. 4,000 years for us, but there's 4,000 years of Old Testament history. And that you can add roughly 2,000 years of church age to that, right? Now we've gone over, here we are, 2024. I still remember the date, right? Lord, 2024, man, is 2,000 years after Christ, you know, over that 2024. And then you realize, as you study there, there is a seventh day, right? Or a 7,000 years. There's another 1,000 years coming, folks. That is the day of the Lord's return and rest, right? He gets a rest. You study that sevens through the Word of God, you find that, you know, you take a rest on the seventh day, you take a rest on the seventh month, you take a rest on the seventh year, you take, you know, God set those things out like that. So there is, thank God, a millennium coming, right? You understand that. You know that, right? And honestly, that I hope to the Lord, it's just a few years ahead of us, right? We understand. I believe personally 7 years tribulation still, you know, before the Lord comes back and sets up that millennium time, okay? So I don't know exactly how long it's going to be, okay, but that's, you know, the Lord's, we're talking about the Lord's seventh day of rest, and that's connected with the millennium, all right? That's Jesus Christ's reign on this earth for 1,000 years, all right? So there's a solid connection there we have in the Word of God that's set through the Word of God as God deals with numbers and things. And I say then that that's man's history on earth, okay, up till after a millennium, 1,000 years, there will be 7,000 years history, give or take a few years or so. We was talking to the sister there about, our calendars not being right, so we don't know what's going on half the time. 4,000 years Old Testament, 1,000 years Christ reigning on this earth, 2,000 years sandwiched in between that, generally speaking, okay? So what your views here as, when you look at this, as the Lord lays something like that out, I want to remind you, it ought to remind us, folks, how close we are to the rapture. I believe it's close. I'm looking for it. I'm praying. Oh, come on, Lord. Come on back, right? So I just think there's just not a multitude of generations left that are going to have to go through more of pain in this life. And it's just, not that many generations left, I don't think, to happen and to go on, all right? So, I don't know if everybody here, is going to, grow fully up and then die before the Lord comes back. I sure hope the Lord comes back before anybody has to pass away again, on that kind of stuff. I don't know if I'm going to die before the Lord returns, okay, but it's coming soon. I believe so, all right? Now you say, well, preacher, they've been saying that for a long time, and you've been, all the time and stuff. Yeah, but let me illustrate something here, okay? I don't know if you've ever seen this or done this math on this kind of stuff. So one day is 1,000 years with the Lord. So, yeah. One day is 1,000 years with the Lord. One of his days is 1,000 of our years. So if that's the case, all right, so some of you may be real good at math. You can follow on this and check on me on this kind of stuff. There are 24 hours in a day, right? 24 hours in a day. So one of the Lord's hours is going to be equal to 41.6 of our years. Right? You get that? What's going on? That kind of thing? You break that kind of thing down and divide that right there. So if you have prayed for something for 40 years, that's half of our lives usually, generally, if you live over 80 years old. If you prayed for something for 40 years, half of your life, you know what? You're getting an answer to prayer in, an hour. An hour of the Lord's time. Isn't that neat? I thought that was pretty great there. The Lord would have answered you within the hour. Now, listen, I don't know how it was with you and your dad, but if I came to my dad and asked him for something, a request, my dad just generally wasn't going to hop to it, right? Even if he was going to grant my request, he's not going to stop everything he's doing and just go answer that thing, that request me, right? I don't know, maybe your dad did, but you could take him a day, take him a week, or, it depends on what that thing is. I don't know. But, this thing here, folks, is in an hour, God has answered your time in his time, right? But you break it down a little, as you divide 1,000 years in 24 hours, so since one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, it seems that works to me, right? Divide 1,000 by 24, that's 41.6 years, all right? And then let's take it a little bit further, all right? Let's divide that thing further. So how many minutes are an hour? Right? 60 minutes. You know that. 60 minutes is an hour. So how does that break down? That means that 1 minute with the Lord is 0.69 years. All right. Now, I kind of roughly estimate that to be 7 to 8 months. Okay. 0.69 years is going to be 7 to 8 months. So if you started praying back, say, in December with something, right? You had a prayer request and you took it to the Lord in December. If the Lord has answered you by June of 2024, can I tell you, he jumped on your prayer request and delivered it in 1 minute. Oh, God. That's great, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Man, it's his time. I realize it's his time on that, but your time and my time is 8 months. Okay. All right. So again, he took care of it in a minute, folks. When David's praying there, make haste, oh God, you got to get this right. So let's do this again here, all right? So when the Bible says, wait on the Lord, okay, really, you're not waiting that long. It's not that long to the Lord, right? It just seems, I know, long to you and me for sure on that. All right, one more step, right? That means that 1 second Okay, if you take this thing down to the seconds, 1 second with the Lord is going to be 0.012 years. Okay, now if you figure that thing out, it comes out to about 4.3 days. 1 second with the Lord is about 4.3 of our days. Okay, so if you prayed earlier this week, all right, here it is Thursday, you started a prayer Sunday, you know, Monday you get on that thing right there, and you know, 4 days later you got an answer to prayer. Hey, and how many times has that ever happened to you in your prayer life? I mean, I hope you write your prayers down, right? The date, the thing on stuff like that. Maybe you had a bill that you didn't have any money. You had an emergency come up here. You made a prayer to God. God, we got, you know, this and stuff like that. You know, about the job or the home or whatever on that kind of stuff. And the Lord, you understand, he sent an answer to that prayer within that week or 4 days. You understand what the Lord's done. He has answered your prayer within a second. That's fast, man. That's fast. And again, I don't remember my dad ever doing that for me. You know, down here just jumping off and getting, yeah, Dad, I know this. No, I don't remember him doing that. But man, that is great what the Lord does there, folks. He does those things. All right, he jumps on it. Can I say he really does? Right, to deliver and make an answer to prayer in a second, folks. So, you know, but if you wait for that time, you know, you're waiting for God and waiting on those prayers. Just think about that and try to keep those things in perspective, right? About God's time and our times on that. It's just a matter of perspective, I think, right? One day, I realized this then too. I really have to take care of this. We will be eternal, right? We're going to have a body like Jesus Christ. We'll be in no more time. It's going to be eternity, right? We're going to have that just like him, folks. We're going to experience that thing just like him. So time will be like that for you and I also when the change comes, when he comes on that, all right? So, well, look back here at Psalm 70. Psalm 70, let's read verse 1 again. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, Lord. All right? Make haste. So everybody wants God to hurry, right? We just need that thing. Well, the truth is, again, he does. God does hurry. I got to say, so often he does. Make haste to deliver me. All right? And he does that too. So now I want to remind you of course, you know, those of us who are saved, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, what God has delivered you from, right? Do you know some things that God has delivered you from? Oh, and can I tell you, he made haste in some of those things, you realize, on that thing? He delivered us from the power of darkness. He translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He said he delivered you from the power of darkness. Now, can I say this then? The moment that you called on Jesus Christ for salvation, right? You call on him to save you. He delivered you, folks. And can I say, he hurried? He hurried? Can I say, he was probably more in a hurry to save you than you were in a hurry on that kind of thing? I believe it, man. And he saved you right then, the moment you trusted in him by faith. When you prayed and cried out to him, he saved you right then, all right? So, there, that's just one of the things he delivers you from. Look at your Bibles at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's look at something else here. I'll just give you a few. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And don't forget, I mean, God, he makes haste in some of those things. 1 Thessalonians 1. Let me see if I can find it here. 1 Thessalonians 1. All right. Again, the psalmist. So you understand as we go through the Bible here, right? In the Psalms, the psalmist you're talking about historically is David, right? And David's talking about deliverance from an enemy. One of his greatest enemies was Saul, right? That he had in that thing. So that enemy means, you know, it. And I say, so you apply that thing to historically David, then practically to us, the enemy would mean something to us in ways it probably didn't mean to him. All right, but you know, you've got enemies, I'm sure, all right, and that kind of stuff. So, you know, we think about the devil, that's our enemy, we know that for sure, and so on and stuff like that. So these are ways that we have been delivered also, all right? And boy, can I tell you, I know many cases in my life, God, boy, he hasted. He did make haste. 1 Thessalonians 1, look at verse 10. He says, to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Man, there's something else that's great, right? If you're saved, can I tell you, you've been delivered from the wrath to come. I'm not going through the tribulation. I don't care what any of these guys say. That is the wrath of God on this earth, folks. I have been delivered from the wrath. If you want to take it further, it's hell. That's God's wrath also on that. So if you're saved, you are delivered from the tribulation, the wrath, and you are delivered from hell, right? Man, that's some shouting grounds right there, talking about God delivering us, right? You've been delivered from the wrath to come. Now, I don't know exactly how bad it's going to get down here before it gets better, right? When I mean the trumpet blows, you know, it probably can get pretty bad, I'm going to say, you know, on that. But you're not going to go through the wrath of God. There's no way you're going to do it, child of God. You have been delivered from that, all right? Something else, 2 Corinthians. Take your Bibles, look at 2 Corinthians. And look at chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Kind of interesting things, aren't they? What a blessing, man. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Sometimes I just got to say it's easy, especially for me right now, to lose track of what the Lord has delivered me from, right? Maybe to forget about it and just go about my business and stuff like that. And really, thinking about how really quick he did it. He delivered me. Man, he delivered me quickly. Amen? So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look down here at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Oh, man. So he's delivered us from so great a death. Look at verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Okay? So he delivered us from so great a death. You understand, folks, lost people, they're going to die. And when they do, it is a great death. It is a great death. They're going to go to hell. They're going to burn forever. It is a great thing. But he's delivered us from that, right? He's delivered us from that. We're not going to die twice, all right? You may die once. You know, we might have to, if the Lord doesn't come and we have to go through this thing, we'll die once. But then, thank God, we don't have to die again when they get cast into the lake of fire in hell like that. You need two births, right? You got to be born the first time. You got to be born the second time, the new birth on that. And here he is, you know, he delivered you from that, okay? Look at something else, Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, here's another one. Romans 8, look down here at verse 21. Romans 8, 21, here, this is something good too, I'm telling you. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now think about that for a little bit, man. He's saying there, here's another one he's delivered us from. We need deliverance from this. You know, it is the bondage of corruption. All right? Well, boy, what a thing on that thing right there, right? You know, and again, as you look at these things, and David way over there in Psalm 70, he's talking about being delivered, right? Deliver me, O God. Some things going on there, right there. It's different on some things than us, but we still have that practical thing, the devotional thing that we know that God talking to us too about here. And God has delivered us from the lake of fire. He has delivered us from the great tribulation. He has delivered us from the devil, the wrath of God, right? And here, what you're watching, and you understand this, whether young or old on this kind of stuff, there we are bound in a body of corruption right now. We're in a body of corruption. Sooner or later, can I tell you, this body is going to be changed, and it's going to be like Jesus Christ in the end, right? But it says there, bondage of corruption. You ever think about what that means? Bondage of corruption, right? You understand that right now, We are inseparable, you know, from this sewage system. Okay? You live in it. You're in it. You know it. Everything that comes out of your body stinks. Okay? I'm not going to go into any more detail on that thing. You understand that, though, right? It's the body. And I do know that there are some wonders about the body. Thank God for our eyes and our hearing, the brain, you know, all those systems that work together and stuff like that. But, folks, it is still a sewage system. And it's falling apart really rapidly, right? You can't get away from stinking, right? And you can't get away from the uncleanness, okay, on that thing. You have to fight that off every day, right, with the blood of Jesus Christ spiritually to cleanse you and wash you, right? It's the bondage of corruption. We are corrupt. That's it. We're just corrupt. One day, right, we're going to be delivered. Amen. We're going to have a new body like his, right? So now, on these other things, of course, I'm going to say this. It is sure good to be delivered from the power of darkness. Thank God I can rejoice in that. It's good to be delivered from the devil. It's good to be delivered from the bondage of corruption, right? It's good to be saved, right? You hear Sam Gipp says that. It's just good to be saved. You're glad to be saved, right? Amen, I am, right, on that thing. But, you know, there's something else, too. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. I think it is 2 Thessalonians 3. Let's see here. Yeah, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1. Is something else right now for us that we can be delivered from, right? Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord might have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. You know, if you get to thinking about your life and maybe what God's brought you through, and I think, and you look at the news, and you see all the stuff that people are going through and they're suffering stuff. I thank God he's delivered me from a whole lot. Yeah, he sure has, folks. He has delivered me from so much. And I think it's a good thing for us to be delivered from people who would try to mess you up. Okay? There's an awful lot of wicked people out there just trying to mess you up. Okay? They're trying to trap you. Okay? They want to mess you up. You know, I mean, I think that's what he's talking about back there in Psalm 70, right? But look in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this, what, again, Paul is telling these Christians in Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 14. Notice he warns them again, Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, by the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people out there, folks. I'm telling you, preachers, you know, so-called preachers, and all kinds of things out there trying to deceive you and mess you up and trap you in that kind of stuff. And can I say today, boy, the average Christian that just spends his time surfing the internet thinking he's, boy, that every Bible teacher out there has something of value for me to get, you are grossly mistaken. You better watch that stuff, okay? You say, I'm smart, I can handle it, stuff like that. No, you better watch out. There's some guys out there in cunning craftiness where they lie and wait to deceive, right? I know a particular boy in my church. And he got out there on the internet. He was interested in spiritual things and stuff. And he got looking at some stuff. And he got caught up with some things. I'm telling you what, turn him around and messed him up. I'm telling you. So I'm glad, you know, when folks have been delivered to the truth by whatever means. I mean, I'm sure, amen, that's a good thing when you get the truth. It's still nothing to play with. Okay, getting on there and looking around at all that stuff. Okay, there is a danger to it. Okay, right now, these, you know, like Christianity today, they're just accustomed to having a shelf full of teachers. I'm going to go to this. I want to get that. I can get this and get that kind of stuff like that. So, can I say, you need to watch that? Okay, I'm just saying, be careful on that kind of stuff. They say, well, I don't need to go to Bible study. You know, tonight I could just, you know, pick a channel here, get on YouTube, get something else from anywhere I want to, be comfortable where I'm at, and so and so and stuff like that. But can I tell you, no, you got some nasty folks out there trying to entrap folks, so be careful on that. Men trying to entrap. And some people, can I tell you, they just live to mess up other people. And we can be just some stupid sheep sometimes. You know, if you start listening to the wrong one, you can get led away, all right? So listen, you guys, I'm sure get fed here in this church really good, okay? All right, I pick up Brother Hoffman on the internet there on some things and listen to stuff. He has got some good stuff. You're getting fed good here, I'm sure, man. I don't think it's wrong for you to hear other preachers. Again, I do sometimes and stuff. Hey, but don't let other preachers and stuff be your main source of preaching. You got a local church here. You got a Bible-believing pastor who believes this book, okay, word for word. You better keep your focus and get your energies on learning what he's got to give you. I mean, on that kind of stuff, all right? Look at Romans 16. Look at something else here. Romans 16. All right, he's talking about, again, these that line in wait to deceive, all right? It's almost like an ambush. You know what you got? You got the Jehovah Witnesses, the black Muslims, the Moonies, the heretic charismatics, you know, just name what's going on now, right out there and stuff, I'm telling you. They're just lying in wait to deceive, to mess people up. Hey, don't be a sucker. Don't fall for that kind of stuff. Romans 16, look at verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Okay, avoid them. He's talking about doctrinal things there. You understand, the Lord has taught you those things, okay? Haven't you really seen, I'm sure right here, that rightly dividing the Bible right there is opened your eyes, and that thing just makes sense to do that? It really, I mean, I thank God when I was brought up and I got saved in our church there, and then Brother Dennis Hicks came in and he started, you know, right, showing about rightly dividing the Word of God. And he brought in some books by Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, you know, and boy, I just got it, you know, eating in that stuff and getting in there. And it's just like, it just makes so much sense, right? To divide that book like that and make the right divisions. Now, listen, I can't teach, you know, and, you know, I know the Lord can use pastors and preachers, but it's the Lord that shows you that. Christian, you have a personal fellowship and walk with him. He is going to show you that. That's the way to do it, right? He can use us, but it's the Lord that taught you that, right? You've been taught by the Lord, okay, on that stuff. So you take that rightly dividing things and you get that, you know, right down through the book right there in the Lord. And, you know, thank God you've been exposed to that, because there are tons of Christians that have no idea about that kind of stuff, all right? So, you know, you bring your Bible, the emphasis on the Bible. You say, Bible, 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 Bible. Yeah, Bible, 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 Bible. You need that, right? We need that on there. So he says there, again, mark them, right? I know not everybody, you're not going to agree maybe 100% with everybody, even your pastor or your wife or your husband. You may not agree 100% on that kind of stuff, but it should be in a church to a high degree of agreement, right? There is a high degree of agreement with us as Bible-believing Christians on that kind of stuff. Some, can I tell you, boy, they have departed from the main major things in this book and believing in that kind of stuff. You better mark them. Hey, so sorry, I don't follow that kind of stuff. There's a danger in that kind of stuff, and you should stay away. Avoid them, it says there, all right? Look at verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So, listen, that's all over today, man. Fair speeches, good words. They're going to sound sweet. They're going to sound real nice, okay? But no, it's they're leading people astray into false things, okay? All right, get back over in Psalm 70. Let's just look at something else, and I'm going to stop here. Pretty close. I hope that there's a few things that helped you. There was a blessing to you there, Psalm chapter 70. Let's see what time we are. We're almost 7 o'clock there, Psalm 70. Get down here. Psalm 70, verse 1. Again, I didn't even get through the whole chapter, but this is the general thing. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. All right. So, again, can I just say the Lord does time and time again to help. Let's look at one other verse. I'm sorry to make you brown. Hebrews chapter. I might have to have you a couple places. We're almost done. Hebrews chapter 2, though. Hebrews 2. And let's see if I can get this here straight, and we'll close. Hebrews 2. Look down here at verse 18. Notice what he says, Hebrews 2:18. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That succor, right, is to help. When you're tempted, the Lord Jesus Christ is your securer, right? He's your helper, right? He will help you. So David's praying, hurry up, Lord, I need help. Help me, right? And you know what? The Lord's right there, and he answers within his time on that kind of stuff. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Go over chapter 4. Look at verse 16. Here it is, and I'll leave you with this. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All right? So, you get help, right, from the Lord. You're going to get help from him. You get help through grace, right? Grace is the thing that's going to get you through something that you could not get by yourself, okay? You need that from God, grace to help in time of need. And that's exactly what David was praying for there in Psalm 70, right? You understand as he's going through there, we've got all our enemies. You've got enemies. Christians have enemies, the devil trying to get you. And you need to have, you know, that your mind focused on him and in that book right there. So, you know what? God, he will use you, right, to help others, right? And as he brings you through some things, you need that mind of Christ. If you're going to be useful to him, and it's going to be by staying on him right there and keeping your eyes on him, Christian. Amen. All right. That's all I got for you guys. God bless you.